Every child learns in his catechism that we are put here to know, love, and serve God, and that these things are our primary obligation. But then we learn in Scripture that love is the first and greatest commandment. And if we love God, we will do everything else that we need to do. Well, we all know this, but sometimes it's a little hard to understand what love for God means in the practical order. So what we need to do is take this broad, overarching idea and break it down into smaller components. That's how we understand things. I was reading one of my favorite writers the other day, Father Faber, an English priest who lived in the 19th century, and I came across a very interesting passage in which he describes seven different ways in which we can practice the love of God. He likes to make lists of things. So they seven ways. They're like seven ways of thinking about God and of thinking about our relationship with Him. And they're all good, and we can use any one of these methods in our prayers to God and our thoughts about Him. So these seven forms of love of God are the love of benevolence, complacence, preference, condolence, gratitude, desire, and simple adoration. So I'll try to explain each one of these. The love of benevolence is wishing well towards God. Many of the saints practice this type of devotion. It means that we rejoice in God's perfections, and we wish that we could even increase his joy or his holiness if we could, even though that's impossible, but we still have that desire. But just the thought itself of our wishing good for God just by itself increases his accidental glory. That means the glory he receives from his creatures. It's like we love God so much that we wish we could make him even better than he is. It's like we're happy because God is happy, because we want nothing more than for God to be happy. That is the love of benevolence. The next type of love of God is the love of complacence, in which we just think about God's perfections with joy, and we leave it at that. We contemplate His perfection. We gaze upon His infinite loveliness. We ponder the fact that there is nothing else like Him. We look at creation and we compare it with God, and we see how tiny and imperfect it truly is. And then we look back at God and we see His immensity and His perfection, especially in comparison with creation. The love of preference, the third one, is more down to earth than the first two, which are a little bit mystical and contemplative. By the love of preference, we think about how much we love God more than we love creatures. It's like we compare God to creatures. We weigh both in the balance. We see God outweigh the world, the entire world, in His beauty and His goodness, and we deliberately and consciously and joyfully choose Him over the world. We think about how creatures have disappointed us so often. They've let us down, and God never has. And we wonder why we ever chose any creatures over God to begin with. So this love of God consists primarily in a detachment from creatures and a contempt of the world. We express our love of God by telling Him how much we love Him more than anything else in the whole world. And the result of this is that it causes people to have an active zeal to give God His proper place in the world. It also gives people a great hatred of sin. People who think this way are tend not to be attached to physical comforts and pleasures, because they love God more than these things. And this love of God focuses above all on God's sovereignty, His ownership of the world. The love of condolence, the fourth one, focuses on making reparation for sin. A person who loves God with this love looks upon God the way he looks at someone who is the victim of some injury or some injustice. We think of God as someone who grieves over the offenses that people commit against him, as we think of him as someone who needs consolation. And we want to make reparation. We want to defend God from the outrages of sinners. It's like we make his cause our own. We take his side against sinners. But a person who loves God in this manner is not angry about sin. Rather, he is terribly sad. He shares God's love for sinners and shares God's desire to draw sinners to himself. He tries to console God, to protect God, if he could, from being offended, to make reparation. And he prays constantly for the conversion of sinners, so that they will stop offending God and they'll love him instead. And most of all, this person weeps continually over his own sins and has a great and abiding sorrow for his own sins. A person who practices this devotion can have a great but hidden apostolate by bringing people to God who would otherwise be lost through his prayers, while at the same time averting God's anger from the world. In the first four kinds of love of God, you may notice that we are focused exclusively on God and we ignore ourselves in that picture. But in the next two, the person who is praying is much more personally involved. So we come to the love of gratitude, which is just what it says. This person focuses on the benefits that God has given him, and he loves God out of gratitude. There are all kinds of things that we can think about here, but we should primarily be grateful for the sins that God has forgiven in our past, the graces that he has given us to help us avoid even more sins. Just as in the previous love of God, the love of condolence, we think about the bad things that we've done to God in the past, and we're sorry for them. So in this school of thought, we think about the good things that we have received from God, and we see God as our great benefactor, the one to whom we owe everything that we have. But at the same time, this gratitude also increases a person's sorrow for sin as well, because they feel even worse for their sins because they have committed them against someone who has done them so much good. I think this kind of love is one of the best suited for beginners because it's something that we can all relate to. And yet, gratitude is an immensely powerful idea. Gratitude towards God will spur us to have a great zeal for God's glory. And it will make us want to sacrifice ourselves for God. Someone who is inspired by this love of God will serve God with joy. Because that is what gratitude does to people. Gratitude in itself is nothing more than a joy that we have because we received something that we don't deserve. So someone who is filled with this joy will draw everyone around him to love God too. The people around this person will see the joy that he has. They'll want to be part of it. And they'll end up loving God too. And so the person who loves God out of gratitude will save not only his own soul, but the souls of many others as well. The sixth form of love of God is the love of desire. This is something that everybody needs to have, everyone from the greatest saint down to the worst sinner, everyone from the lowest, poorest monk to the greatest king. By this love, we want God because he is the source of all our happiness. And we want to be happy, so we want God. It sounds selfish in a way, but it's a holy selfishness. It's not only good, it's actually the beginning of all holiness. It's truly a great grace from God if we desire Him above all things, if we desire His love and desire to be pleasing to Him. We have to want God more than anything else in the world. And if we don't love God in that way, then we're committing sin anyway. And how can we want anything except God? Nothing else can satisfy us anyway, and we find that everything that we want and pursue always turns into disappointment. Everything except God. He is the only thing that is always satisfying to our souls. The last kind of love of God is the love of simple adoration. This is the highest of them all. It includes all the previous six in a higher form. By this love, we just gaze on the infinite beauty and being of God until every other thought or attachment leaves our mind and we lose everything in the thought of the beatific vision. The thought of God dazzles our souls like a blinding light so that we can't see anything else, but we can't bear to take our eyes off of it because it's so beautiful. Father Faber says that this is a gift that God gives us in prayer. We can't earn it ourselves, but we can certainly open ourselves up to it by the practice of virtue and by fervent prayer. But it is something that we should try to do now and then, just to think about God's perfection and His great power, His eternity, and His love for us until we get a sense of how infinitely small everything else is in relation to Him. It's a great spiritual exercise. These are all ways for us to fulfill the sole purpose of our existence, which is to love, serve, and adore God. We hope and pray that we will be doing these things forever in heaven. And if, pray God, we make it there, it will cause us a joy that we can't imagine. But we have to get started now. Some of these methods that I have explained are a little bit deep. I had a little trouble understanding and explaining the first couple of them. I hope you understood what I said. But it does give us a description of what our prayers should be like and how we should view our relationship with God. I always recommend people to do spiritual reading, especially to people who are just converted or just beginning their spiritual lives, or maybe who are coming back to it after a long period of neglect. Because spiritual reading teaches us all these things that we need to know. Someone can easily say, what does it mean for me to love God? How do I know if I love Him? I can't even see Him. So how do I love Him? And this gives us some examples of how we can do that. Here are our seven different ways. Pick any one of them. Pick as many as you want. It's true that Father Faber is a little bit deep, but there are a lot of other writers out there that say similar things. You see his method. He takes a practical yet elusive question, like, how should I think about God when I pray? And he gives you seven different ways you can do that are all excellent. And you can try as many of them as you want and see which one works best for you. Different people will like different ones. And there's no wrong way to love God. And if none of these seven methods works for you, just keep reading or read a different book or keep looking, and sooner or later you're certain to find something that will help you in your spiritual life. The more you read and learn, the better your prayers will be and the holier you'll become. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.